when you feel like there's something that's not said, if you say it, it's what everyone else is thinking, and it brings about healing.
Hey, friends and healers. Welcome back to the Stories of Astonishing Light podcast. I am KJ Nazril, and I'm so excited you're here with me today as I'm kicking off a two-part interview with my friends, the Andersons. Vaughn Anderson is a photographer and founder of Our Friendly World, and Matt Anderson is a software developer with a lifetime of experience helping people solve really frustrating problems. Together, they are in pursuit of social, racial, economic justice through their thought-provoking conversation podcast exploring the art of friendship. It's called Our Friendly World with Vaughn and Matt. We went all over the map in our jam session, which can be wonderful, right? I already outlined something like 13 takeaways and soon realized this would be a lovely opportunity to share our discussion over a couple episodes for us to savor. In this first part of my chat with Vaughn and Matt, we muse aloud about the significant stories that arise out of otherwise commonplace trinkets. Think fridge magnets. And we attempt to identify the moment we decide to pursue the next level in our relationships, from casual to more. It's really juicy stuff. Here is the incredibly fun and revealing talk with my friends, Vaughn and Matt Anderson of Our Friendly World.
People, when they tell them about our show, they're like, oh, what's your show about? I'm like, friendship. I usually don't use the word lonely or loneliness epidemic. And that's actually where we came from, is we're here to destroy, get rid of the loneliness epidemic. But really, see, everything comes back to friendship.
It all comes back to friendship. And you didn't even know this, but you seamlessly just opened the show.
That's what I've been saying about every subject in the world. And that's why it's important to reconnect and come back together. And that's all, that's our entire mission, is that communication, coming to talk, sharing stories, sharing emotions, having a circle, a table to talk, having a place to speak, your mind worldwide.
I love it. It obviously brought us together. And then And we were able to introduce each other to more wonderful beings and bring more people into the conversation. And now you have, what, 3 podcasts, essentially?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Do you remember we saw that meme that said, I have 10 podcasts? And the person that was our teacher was like, who would want to talk that much? I do.
Me. You too, right?
I can't get enough. There's a lot to talk about.
There's a lot to talk about.
There has been way too much time spent without communication. Our heads down. Ever since I was a kid, I'm like, what is this? Because I was raised with 2 cultures at the same time and not embraced by either one. So I had to go and really take notes. I literally took notes my entire life, ever since I can remember, as a little kid, just taking notes on not only human behavior, the conversations that were happening, the conversations that didn't happen. I'd be sitting there going, are you kidding me right now? They're going to let that go? Isn't someone going to say something? And I promised myself I would never do that. I would always speak. And it feels, if I say something or if I talk about something, I will be ridiculed maybe or be shut aside. I find that when you feel like there's something that's not said, if you say it, it's what everyone else is thinking, and it brings about healing. And I think that's what one of the things that is so potently crucial and needed in our society. And that's why so many podcasts are now happening, is more people are realizing the power of conversation.
Yes. I like to open up my conversations on the show with what I call icebreakers. Don't think too much on it, but I'll ask a couple of questions and the first thing that comes to mind, and then we'll go off of that, and then we can continue our conversation. The first question is, what is on your refrigerator right now?
Like on it or in it?
Oh my goodness.
On it.
I think we've got a magnet with some pictures.
Well, is it on
top? A tiny little cactus on a magnet. I don't know. What else do we have on our...
I always have questions to the questions. Are you referring to on top of the refrigerator or on it, like magnets?
On it or on top, touching the outside surface of your fridge.
Okay.
A lot of beer bottle caps.
Yeah?
In a box.
We collect
They're
them.
They're not loose.
That's what I want to know. So you've got some, so beer bottle caps. I heard magnets, cactus.
Yeah, there's a little cactus that has not grown in 6 years. It's still alive, but it's a teeny tiny little cactus I got.
Oh, I love those.
In Arizona when I had a workshop with Dr. Joe Dispenza. But on top of the fridge lay 7 industrial, what do you call those racks? Those cooling racks for when you bake cakes and cookies.
Oh, yeah.
But there are these industrial, huge racks. There are 7 of them on top from when I started my vegan bakery.
So they're from your vegan bakery days.
Yeah. And I want to continue on with that someday. I never had an actual shop. I was at a farmer's market in Washington State. It was called the Wish Baker. They're all vegan cakes. Half of them are baked. The other half were vegan raw and they're delicious. And if you were to taste it, you would never know that it was vegan. You would swear that you're having bona fide tiramisu or bona fide whipped cream or cream. They were so good. But the reason why it's called the Wish Baker is because I made wishes on the cakes. And that's how it started years ago. That's how I met Matt. I started baking wedding cakes. First for myself and 2 of my friends. One night in my photography studio, we were looking for love. We were like, and I had totally given up. And so I said, you know what? Like Field of Dreams, let's bake it and it will happen. And so we baked a wedding cake together. We prayed on it. We were like, we reheat it. It was so powerful, the energy that night, that my best friend left because she's, you know what? I'm not ready. I don't know. I'm gone, guys. Bye. We baked the cake. We ate it. Within a few weeks, I met Matt. And within, I think, 3 months, my friend Holly met Michael, like true love. And word got out and I became the Wish Baker. Like all kinds of wishes.
Wow. So I love that.
On top of the fridge right now are those racks from when I was baking cakes at the farmer's market.
Oh my gosh. Do you see how just one prompt can bring about a number of stories and conversations? Because I now have 15 more questions just based on that, including how you and Matt actually did meet, because I don't think I know that story.
Yeah.
So hold that thought. And the other thing is I'm very interested in what criteria needs to be made for you to decide to keep a beer bottle cap.
That's actually really simple. And because I'm not discriminating. I keep 2 of every different kind of beer bottle cap that I come across. And so I just have to have this catalog in my head. Oh, yes, indeed, I have this beer bottle cap and that beer bottle cap. So it's the new. And so it's not a huge box of bottle caps, but it's not a little box of bottle caps.
It used to be huge. We had to get rid of it.
No. That was because I kept all the bottle caps because kids were young and I thought it would be good to have a tactile sense if we needed to have pieces for checkers or I wanted to talk to them about addition or subtraction or multiplication. It's good to have counters that you can just pull out and just not worry about.
And they made art from
that. Oh, I love that.
And actually, Elle's flattening bottle caps now with a plier.
Yeah, it's really amazing what they come up with to do.
It's because they have this imagination and this freedom. We spoke a little bit about it yesterday, where something went awry in that we stopped being open to being imaginative and creative. And it's usually around 7 or 8, studies have shown. And so I heard about this from a psychologist, a researcher on creativity and drawing. And she discovered, it wasn't even her study, but 6 or a handful of kids were shown a paperclip in this study. And they're like, what can you do with this? Start naming all the things you can do with this. And they came up with, no joke, dozens and dozens of ideas of what you can do with a paperclip. And then another group was shown the paperclip, but these were folks that were adults. I don't remember the particular age, but like they could come up with 2 things. And one of them was a paperclip when asked the same question. What can you do with this? And the kids were saying things like, I can make a boat. I could build a house. I could make a painting. And the adults were like, I could clip things together.
That's such a shame. That's why we homeschool, because we wanted to keep that integrity about them.
And honestly, there's something in Zen that says Zen mind, beginner's mind. And it's about mm-hmm. trying to approach everything from a fresh perspective. And that's so incredibly difficult. In my daytime career as a software developer, you get very caught up in this worked yesterday, so it has to continue to work today. Mm-hmm. And you take a look at a company like, oh, I don't know, Blockbuster Video. And sometimes the rules change, and sometimes they change very quickly, and sometimes you can't adapt. And mm-hmm. so it's always a good idea to come at things from a fresh perspective.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, you have to constantly, like how you would always refer to the bamboo, you have to be like bamboo, you have to bend.
Yes. You have to be like water and flow around. But yes, absolutely.
Look what the conversation about beer bottle caps and cooling racks opened up.
So I was a photographer. I traveled around the world and I was working on my book, photographing all cultures, different tribes around the world. And I would be out in the bush in Ethiopia and I would see the tips of pens that we would throw away, not over there, but like here, we throw things away.
We do.
Beautiful, intricate pieces of jewelry. Like these are nomadic tribes that know nothing about the Ethiopian government, or back then they didn't know about the Ethiopian government. Like they were just nomads living out there so far removed from cities, or like how everyone else goes along with the masses with media and everything. Not exposed to that at all. Yet they were having these like plastic pieces from pens, or I'm trying to remember what else I saw, like just made into amazing works of art. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not just children, I think. What makes us this way, do you think, you guys? What makes us so limited and myopic?
No, and that's a very fair question. Honestly, I think that at some point, our creative sense is people try and bludgeon it out of us. Mm-hmm. And I think truly smart amongst us figure out how to hide it.
And to survive.
That's even sadder. I'm hiding my light so I can continue to have it versus showing it off and being like put down because of it.
See, I don't hide and I get fired from jobs.
Exactly. And I'm
well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Because you don't hide, people don't know how to address and flow with that. And so they're like, okay, then it's easier for us to remove. Yeah. And but for survival, Matt's, then I know how to adapt, and I could just show this part at this time to these people right now to survive.
Keep it professional.
Yeah, whatever that means.
Well, I'm finding actually myself initially keep it professional. And I talk about this, build currency, which is what I, by doing things their way, by executing on time, by doing more than they expect, overshooting expectations, then they'll start to listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to build that currency, that fluency, and that shorthand, frankly, with people. And sometimes you can't do it. And other times you have to go through some shared experience. Yeah, like recently, so the company I'm currently working for acquired the company I previously worked for. Now with the people I used to work with, we have a different bond because we've now been through an experience together.
Yeah. An experience came up yesterday when we were in the workshop that I was holding, and Fawn, you referenced it on our roundtable discussion as well, about how we can instantly be drawn into each other or bonded with somebody in a momentary shift. And I think that's a little bit what Matt's speaking about as well, is where is that? There's like this humanness in us that is seeking shared experiences. And so that can come up in a number of different ways. Oh, we like the same music, or, oh, we feel the same way about this particular hot topic or this particular topic in general. Who knew that I liked succulents so much or gardening so much, that sort of thing. But I agree, there's something about almost lifting that veil and showing your full self and true, genuine self. That is another currency builder, but you have to be almost strategic about when to do it.
Yeah, no, there's a total calculation to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And there's also a sense of, have they shown me anything?
Right.
Consciously or subconsciously, because I'm working on a guy at work right now, and I have a sense of what he listens to because for a split second, he showed it to me on a screen. When I saw his database password, I know he's into Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And it's, wow. And it's about, okay, when am I gonna use this data? Because
holy, this is good information to know.
Have a nasty habit of showing you who they are. pay attention.
Yes.
But you always have to be paying attention is the weird part.
But here's another piece. Paying attention, yes, but also creating an environment for it to feel safe enough for them to let you in for just a second.
And there you go. Absolutely. Yeah. No, one of the guys I work with, his name is Marshall Thompson. Oh my God. Marshall Thompson to me is like a brilliant name for an NFL defensive tackle or lineman. It's just, you know what? I can mess with Matt Anderson because he's generic, but Marshall Thompson, I'm a little scared of just the name. And so I brought it up to him because it's on some level, it's flattering. I'm having a laugh, but I'm not having a laugh in a mean way.
No, don't.
He's like, my next door neighbor said I should play football.
Great. What? No.
Boom, breakthrough. But and sometimes it's literally like you're exposing yourself, but in a very playful, non-threatening manner.
Yeah.
Versus me, I don't know, let me make fun of your name or whatever it is. Not in a weird way, but in that, I want to know something about you.
There's a curiosity involved with that. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be, like we said, in some ways, I suppose it is strategy. I may call it manipulation. I tend to not. But there is something about coming from because I'm curious about and then following that. And oftentimes people certainly who are a little more aware or sensitive can pick up on and understand when someone is genuinely curious versus someone who has an agenda.
That's just it. Again, be like water, flow. I don't have an agenda right now. If I go to Marshall and I say, hey, Marshall, I need some help with something. Mm-hmm. I've got better odds now that we had that conversation because he knows that I'm not just trying to see what I can get.
Yeah. So here's a question. When does it shift between a respectful acquaintance to friendship? When does that happen?
God, that would be to you, honey.
I am like Mr. Cynic when it comes to that because I literally now I say to people, I think we have the potential to become friends. I literally say that to people. I'm that analytic, digital, and hard about it, frankly, because I'll have conversations with people and I'll just have a random conversation with someone. And you can tell when all of a sudden it doesn't feel like you're just scratching the surface anymore. There's depth and it's curious. You're curious about it.
Yeah.
But I go to the level of saying, yeah, I think we have the potential to become friends. And then later I'll say, I think we can become friends. I literally say that to people. And I honestly deliver it very much as a compliment and hopefully they receive it that way. Now, this is mostly, again, with programmers and technical people. But yeah, I'm extremely frank, forward, direct, and let people know just because I think that's part of my nature. And Fawn could certainly speak to that.
Let's take a second to pause in this amazing conversation for a quick check-in. If you're enjoying this episode and have found value in the stories from the guests who've joined me on the podcast, I would love it if you could rate and leave a review for the show. You can do so on Apple Podcasts or any of your listening platforms. Your reviews help boost visibility of the show and spread the word to more listeners. Plus, I love hearing from you. If you have found anything you've heard on this show valuable or helpful for you, please let us know. And it's really easy to do. And it takes maybe a minute. You can go to ratethispodcast.com/astonishingstories. Also, a little something to consider. Every review you leave enters you into a chance for winning a free 30-minute private session with me to discuss anything of your choice. I'll pick the name of the winner every Friday and announce it on my Instagram and Facebook stories. So let's hear it, friends. ratethispodcast.com/astonishingstories. I really appreciate you.
See, we're total opposite.
Yeah, I was going to say.
How do you do it? And how do you know
when
it's happening? How do you do it? I was going to say I'm the total opposite of Matt in so many ways. I'm like teenage, fluffy, golden retriever that will jump on you and lick you and say, you're my best friend. Like I'm a dog, like that. Like, and Matt will say, get down, down, girl. Like you're scaring people.
Get down, down, heal.
And despite all the times I've been hurt by people, it's instinctive. I do that when I think I really like someone. And I'll get smacked occasionally. Get off me.
A newspaper on the nose.
Not a dog lover. They're not a dog lover. If I'm just making.
Continuing the metaphor.
Yeah. using metaphors. But yeah, how do you know? For me, it's a psychic sense that I get. But like with you, like, how did we know? We knew instantaneously. We've never even met in person. We've known each other now for about a year.
Bonkers. Right? Nuts. Yes.
And you are my sister. You are our family. No doubt about it. No ifs, ands, or buts. Like, you are my sister.
I know that you messaged me. You sent me a DM while we were on a Zoom call together in one of these podcasting groups that we were part of.
I was a golden retriever dog jumping on you.
A very respectful golden retriever. You weren't like jumping. You were just wagging your tail and saying hi.
When I see you, I'm like, hey, buddy. Hey, buddy. Where the hell have you been?
Although you did, I found it really refreshing. So I could see how both you and Matt, I enjoy both your approaches. You just straight up said, I think we're going to work together. Or you may have just even said, I'd like to work with you. You may not even said that, but then you sent me the link to your website.
I was like, first of all, I'm now, as I have walked the planet, I'm like, you know what? I don't have time for BS. So when I feel it, I'm going to put it out there. This is me. I'm not hiding anything. This is my full personality. Might as well have you see it right now. Are you going to take it or leave it? You walking with me? Are we walking together? Cool. If not, bye-bye. Thank you. Moving on. Do you know what I mean?
Have you learned nothing from the movie Hitch?
What?
They want to know the real you. Maybe not all at once, but they want to know the real you. And that's what I get. I don't give them the whole picture. It's too big. It's too much to engulf. There's too much going on. Bite-sized morsels, and we'll take a step. We'll see if it fits. Then we'll take another step, see if it fits. And if not, then we're going to be like just acquaintances. And I'm talking about like workmates now because we don't get out at this point. But at this point, that's working real well for me.
But see, I show up with a gigantic Costco-sized shopping cart of stuff. Big packages. I'm like, here you go, buddy. Hey, you hungry? You want to play? What do you want to do?
Oh, do you not like what I have here? Because I'll cook it. I'll just make it for you too.
No, I do that. Seriously, I know. Come over. I'll make 6 different meals completely different because I don't know what you like. I'll just make everything. And you know what? I would think people would be pleased by that, but there were people that were so turned off by that and didn't want to come over again because I make 6 different dishes. So what?
Whereas after that, when things are quote unquote back to normal, there's a number of people I want to go out for a beer with. Mm-hmm. A beer.
Yeah. So that's the bite-sized morsels.
Exactly.
Whereas our girl here would say, I'm making a meal.
Come over and
come on over.
6 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, that's not my fault. I'm not holding you up for 6 hours, but we have like this.
Don't leave. You can't leave.
You know what? It's on this way. Even in my photography studio, when people would come over, because I meditated a lot, the walls would vibrate probably. But like people would come over and ask me if I drugged them. I'm like, no, sir. I don't do that, first of all.
Come on over. You'll wonder if you were drugged.
Because they were like, I swear to you, it feels like I've only been here for 2 minutes. And how is it already 6 hours?
That's incredible. You know,
so that they thought that they were tripping on something.
And I swear I didn't put anything in the food.
I swear. No, not like that. Seriously, just organic vegetables and fruits. But it's not about that. It's energetic. It is. Mm-hmm. It is just welcoming someone in fully. And I don't know. Honestly, after this pandemic, I've experienced not entertaining like that. And I gotta say, I wonder if I'm going to go the other way, if I'm going to go on the opposite extreme of my way of friendship, because I really enjoy not having people over. Because I was so heartbroken by people's behavior. Whoever came over, it's like, I realized this was, I guess this was part of our research, but like, I realized how there are so many people who don't know how to behave or act as a guest, let alone being a host. Mm-hmm. We go over to other people's homes and we're not the type to sit down or do anything until you tell us what to do. Come sit down, come eat or whatever. So we'll just stand there. We ended up standing a lot at many houses because no one had that host technology in their brain. How do I say that? They didn't know.
People don't throw enough parties.
So they don't. Yeah, we've lost the art of entertaining. Mm. So you know, this added to everything that I've been writing about for years now is the lost art of friendship.
Yep.
The lost art of entertainment, the lost art of just making someone feel comfortable. It felt laborious after a while, trying to show people the way of entertaining in our own home. And quite frankly, I got tired.
Oh yeah.
I'm the only one who's making that effort all the time. And because of the pandemic, I'm like, hey, this is nice. I don't know if I'll ever invite anyone ever again.
She lies.
I also
think of KJ and I think of Beth and mm-hmm. I'm like, not only are they coming over, they're staying.
Exactly. Like
we're going to have slumber parties for weeks. I don't want you to go. I want you to stay.
Thank you for giving me the heads up. I'll know how much to pack. This is good. But no, what's wonderful about what you're saying is that, yes, the pandemic has now shaped everything, including how to have conversations or etiquette. So my question to you all is, then who might be invited then to your table?
First, I want to move. I'm not very optimistic about our country. And we are like nomads because of me constantly saying, let's go here. Nope, it doesn't feel good here either. Let's go over here. So I'm like a master packer. I'm like very military in my packing. So I'll just pack the whole house up and we'll move. We haven't been able to do that. And I don't know where we belong on the planet. Honestly, I can't imagine having anyone over because I don't feel at home.
Okay.
I forgot what the question was, actually. Why are you looking at me like that?
Having people over. See, again, like I said, I'm still in full gatekeeper mode.
Yes.
So go out for a beer with people. See how that goes. And then depending on what interests we share, then continuing those things. And I would see myself inviting someone over to watch a football game, for mm-hmm. instance. But honestly, for a lot of the friends that I have, the interests we share are so wide-ranging, it doesn't necessarily behoove us to be in this space. I have a friend I like going walking with, for instance. Doing that doesn't involve actually having them in the house. Hey, let's go meet at Trailhead X or whatever it is.
Yeah, where we live currently, when we moved in, we would have friends come over. It's not conducive to having friends over because we have a neighbor that will beat the ceiling if we're talking.
Oh.
So we'll be talking in the kitchen and he'll beat the ceiling. And it's not like you hear a broomstick hitting his ceiling, our floor. It shakes the whole place and it's violent.
And what is he? I wonder what he's using to.
I don't know, but it scares the hell out of me every time.
Violent, you said.
Yeah. And so it's not. And that's the thing. That's one of the things we talk about on our podcast. And I'm actually having all these architects and civil engineers and landscape designers, like city designers on, because I just find it very interesting the way our society has been set up, where we cannot entertain each other, mm-hmm. where we cannot commune and eat together, mm-hmm. or simply sit together. When was the last time you could find a bench in the United States where you can just have a seat and speak with anyone that walks by? There's one bench. And it's not a happy bench for me. It's dedicated to someone who has died. So there's death all over it. It's sad. And even if you do sit on it, it's made in such a way that the law enforcement makes sure that only a person of a specific level in society can sit on that bench. Meaning, if you're homeless, you can't be on that bench.
Mm-hmm. And heaven help you, you have a conversation with somebody walking by and they think you're a lunatic.
I have a friend to introduce you to in the next couple of weeks because her project that I'm helping her work on is literally called Come Sit With Me. And she is going to have a couch. I wasn't going to say at the side of the road, but maybe along the walkway in a park. And she'll invite whoever's walking by to come sit with her and see what kind of conversations come up.
I love that.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I've heard of this one woman who's been doing that for a few years in New York City. It's something like that. And it's really phenomenal how people will actually open up once they have that door.
Once they've been given the invitation. Mm-hmm. But what's also interesting is the resistance for those who wouldn't sit down on that couch for a conversation or on that bench. Like all the ways to not have a conversation. And be, for lack of better terms, open and intimate.
Yeah. I'm putting a call out there right now. I've been working on it, talking to architects that are forward thinking, city planners, designers that are forward thinking, where I would like to work with them and really bring up this issue of how things are structured, how our societies, how our buildings structure our relationships. And just the way you position even desks in schools, that needs to change.
Yeah. There's a branch of therapy. It used to be its own kind of standalone, and now we've integrated it into other philosophies that we use, and it's called structural therapy, structural family therapy. So if it's a family, the therapist invites the family into the room where you're going to have your session, and there are sitting possibilities everywhere. And so it's just, he doesn't give direction. He just sits down, the therapist or she sits or stands in the door and says, have a seat, but doesn't give any other instructions. And that in and of itself is so telling on who takes what chair next to which person. And is it next to me? Is it across from me? And then they use a big portion of the next part of the session to discuss why you chose where you sat.
I love that. The first time I walked into Matt's office, Matt had this office. He had this beautiful scene behind him at the window. I walk in and he had the power desk, but he had all these toys and different places to sit.
And yes.
Do I recall a yoga ball? Did you have something or like a bean bag? You did. But he had all these, just like the way you just described it. But how great would it be to have the corporate environment be like that? And I know there are some, but I just found so much about, I was just learning about Matt back then. It was in the beginning stages, we were becoming friends. But to walk into this office that was so filled with color and fun, it was so much fun sitting in your office.
I've always embraced my inner 8-year-old. So who were you at 8? I was making origami, playing with slinkies, yo-yo.
Yes.
You know, drawing things on my, and in this case, I had a whiteboard. So I would draw things on my whiteboard. And yeah.
Yeah. You brought us back to some of the original questions that opened up our conversation today, which was how it moved for you to become acquainted and then together.
Wow. There's so much that we covered in just those first 30 minutes of our chat, and the icebreakers alone invited a deeply personal conversation. It laid the groundwork for further introspection and hopefully maybe prompted more interactions with others. I had so many takeaways and questions for consideration, but I managed to narrow them down a bit here. So I'm going to take a crack at it now, but I still would love to hear from you if you had additional thoughts or ideas. So here goes. Number one, it's about connective conversations. If we can get to the table and discuss with each other openly and share what we know, we can bring genuine change in the world. Our hope is that these conversations begin now. Number two, stories and connecting conversations exist everywhere. Beer bottle caps and fridge magnets are a great starting point. Number three, when or why did we lose our ability for imagination? Can we adapt and approach problem solving with a fresh perspective? Number four, survival equals the ability to adapt and develop currency, which leads us to number five. Currency equals relationships. How do we build currency? Could it be that we create a safe environment for people to feel comfortable enough to share who they are genuinely? Number six, when do we actively shift from casual acquaintance to friendship? Number seven, what is our style of initiation? Are you a golden retriever, giving it all? Or perhaps a gradual gatekeeper, unveiling in bite-sized morsels? Why is this our style of initiation? When did we realize this was our style? Finally, number eight. Are there structures, architecture, informing our abilities to create and maintain meaningful relationships? Take a look around at the physical structures in your everyday life to see how supported you'd feel to initiate a friendly exchange with someone else,
a friend, or a stranger. We could go on, and there is still another 30, 40 minutes of the conversation, which I'll be sharing with you next week. Be sure to check out the show notes to learn of all the places that Fawn and Matt are having these incredible dialogues. Listen into their podcast, Our Friendly World. I've been a guest a couple times already, and I had a blast. And check out their work on ourfriendlyworld.com. The second part of this scrumptious conversation is a synthesis of all of our musings today. Plus, don't you want to hear the beginnings of Fawn and Matt's stories? Yeah, please be sure to listen in and let us know what you think. Reviews and subscriptions are the bread and butter in the podcasting world. So if you take the time to leave a review, it's like you're sharing a Las Vegas-style buffet for us. Seriously, it's that impactful and supportive, especially for us newbies in this podcasting space. As usual, I thank you for hanging out with me and for witnessing the exchange of astonishing stories. Talk next time.
Thank you for listening to the Stories of Astonishing Light podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can support this podcast in a few different ways. First, you could post a screenshot of the podcast on your Instagram and Facebook stories or in your feeds and tag me at Bliss Begins Within or Musings on Other, and I can repost you. Another way to spread the love is to share this podcast with your friends and family, anyone whom you think might enjoy it as well. A third way to support this podcast is to subscribe, download, and leave a positive review on any of the platforms you listen to the show on. And this way, we can continue to grow our audience and reach more listeners. A quick and direct way to leave a review is by going to ratethispodcast.com/astonishing stories. I am so grateful to spend this time with you, exchanging such uplifting tales of resilience. We'll see you next time.